Good morning. It's 9 o'clock. I'm calling the meeting to order. We have Jenny Marie Daniel, Kirby's Telecommuting, and myself chairing. We're looking for a motion to adopt the agenda as is. Motion made by Marie, seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? None. All in favor say aye. Opposed? Abstention. Motion carries. We're now looking for a motion to approve the November 17th, 2021 LLC meeting minutes and forward to the business committee. Motion made by Marie. Seconded by Daniel. Questions or comments? Kirby?
Yeah, because some telecommunicating, you have to go around and ask each individual.
Okay, yep, you're correct. Thank you for the reminder. So take a poll vote. We'll start with Jenny.
Approve.
Marie?
Approve.
Daniel?
Approve.
Kirby?
Approve.
Okay, motion carries. Moving on to current business, furlough law amendments. Kristen.
Good morning. This item starts on page 4 of the packet. The LLC added this item to the active files list on October 7th, 2020 to incorporate Indian preference into the nation's furlough program and provide clarity regarding certain processes within the law that were flagged for analysis following the recent furlough program that was implemented in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The nation's furlough policy was originally adopted on November 10th, 2015 through Resolution BC-1110-15B to establish a process for initiating and implementing a furlough program for employees of the United Nations. This will be the first time that the law has been amended since its initial adoption. Once added to the active files list, the Legislative Reference Office created a work group made up of representatives from areas within the nation that are, or upon amendment, will be responsible for administering the law and or most impacted by changes to the law. The areas were the Human Resources Department, Retail, Gaming, and Employee Relations. The Legislative Reference Office met with the work group on 4 separate occasions to collect input and suggestions regarding possible amendments to the law. The Legislative Reference Office also met with the Legislative Operating Committee on 9 separate occasions to address the concerns, changes that prompted it to add the law to the active files list in the first place, and to discuss the information collected from the work group to have the LOC make policy decisions in response thereto. On August 4th, 2021, the Legislative Operating Committee approved the draft amendments to the nation's furlough policy, which, if adopted, will be renamed the furlough law. The draft, as approved by the LOC, is included within the packet and begins on page 8. This is the red-lined version of the draft that reflects all the changes being proposed to the current law, with a clean version of the draft appearing immediately thereafter for ease of reading. I will now highlight some of the more significant changes, additions being proposed at this juncture in the process. First, that Indian preference will now be applied to determine the order for placing employees in furlough status and recalling them back to work, with preference being afforded in the following order, beginning with the most preferred category of employees. 1, enrolled members of the United Nation. 2, Oneida citizens eligible for enrollment in the United Nation. 3, documented first-generation Oneida descendants. 4, Indians defined as any person other than an Oneida citizen who is a citizen of a federally recognized Indian tribe other than the Oneida Nation and non-Indian people. For purposes of clarity and to ensure consistent application, the following definition for Oneida citizen was added to the law to mean those persons who are enrolled members of the nation, eligible for enrollment in the nation, or documented first-generation Oneida descendants. Thus, the first 3 preference categories, meaning the group of employees given the highest degree of preference, are reserved for Oneida citizens. The law also incorporates priorities to be used after applying Indian preference when deciding order of placement, as well as recall of employees in the same preference level that remain. Those priorities from highest to least prioritized are seniority, veteran status, and performance, with performance being assessed based on the most recent evaluation that exists on the date the Oneida Business Committee adopted the furlough triggering resolution at issue. Next, amendments were made to the law to update the process for initiating and implementing a furlough program, including a new provision for preparing for a furlough program before it is even initiated, which include, in part, that within a reasonable time after the amendments go into effect, All direct report level positions or duly authorized designees submit a furlough implementation plan using a standard template created by the Human Resources Department that is aimed at eliciting in advance information that will allow the nation to implement a furlough program in as efficient and consistent a manner as possible under the circumstances. It also will have to include a set process for when and how the furlough program may be initiated, including a requirement that the United Business Committee consider alternative options before such initiation and a list of certain activities that are prohibited during a furlough program. There is also a requirement that a set process for how a furlough program will be implemented once initiated by a resolution of the United Business Committee be included, and assignment of responsibility for carrying out a furlough program in accordance with the law. The law will now also require that a furlough program be implemented as either an emergency or administrative program and be carried out in accordance with such characterization. The law will allow the United Business Committee to establish an ad hoc committee made up of employees of the nation appointed by the United Business Committee to assist in the implementation of a furlough program, which may include, if requested by the United Business Committee, assisting with the classification of critical positions and deciding which departments and positions will be subject to the furlough program at issue. And last, the amendments will add more notice and due process protections to the law by one, including specific notice requirements for the placement and recall of employees subject to a furlough program, two, requiring that HRD add training on Indian preference to its mandatory employee orientation program so that incoming employees have a better understanding of where they stand in the event of a furlough program. Three, it will require direct report level positions and supervisors who will be responsible for implementing a furlough program within their respective department or division to undergo training on the application of this law every 2 years. And last, it broadens the scope of claims that an employee placed in furlough status can bring on appeal from only claims that placement was based on disciplinary reasons to claims that a furlough program was implemented in violation of the law. Following its approval of the draft amendments, the Legislative Operating Committee directed that a legislative analysis be developed on the amendments to the furlough program. The legislative analysis is a plain language analysis describing the important features of the legislation being considered and factual information to enable the Legislative Operating Committee to make informed decisions regarding legislation. The legislative analysis is located on page 35 of the packet. The Legislative Operating Committee approved the legislative analysis on August 18, 2021, and on August 6, 2021, the LOC approved the public notice comment packet and had it forwarded to a public notice meeting publishment that was published and held open until November 11, 2021. A public meeting for the adoption of the amendments to the law was not held, however, due to the COVID pandemic, based on the following. On March 12, 2020, Chairman Tahasi Hill signed a declaration of public health state of emergency in response to the COVID-19 virus, declaring a public health state of emergency for the nation until April 12, 2020. The declaration set into place the necessary authority for action to be taken and allowed the nation to seek reimbursement for those emergency management actions that may result in unexpected expenses. The public health state of emergency has since been extended by the United Business Committee until January 2022 through adoption of the resolutions that are referenced within the packet. On March 27, 2020, the nation's COVID-19 core decision-making team issued a suspension of public meetings under the Legislative Procedures Act declaration, which suspended the Legislative Procedure Act's requirement to hold a public meeting during the public comment period, but allows members of the community to still participate in the legislative process by submitting written comments, questions, data, or input on proposed legislation to the Legislative Operating Committee via email during the public comment period. On August 3rd, 2021, the United Business Committee adopted Resolution BC-0803-21A, entitled Setting Public Gathering Guidelines During Public Health State of Emergency COVID-19, which prohibits indoor and outdoor public gatherings when COVID-19 infection rates within Brown or Outagamie counties exceed low, as identified by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. In accordance with Resolution BC-0803-21A, a public meeting was not held due to the infection rates within Brown and Outagamie counties exceeding low, as identified by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Instead, on August 6, 2021, the Legislative Operating Committee approved the public comment period and held it open until November 11, 2021, and although the COVID-19 core decision-making team's declaration suspended the public meeting, and therefore no public meeting was scheduled on the proposed amendments to the law, members of the community were still given the opportunity to provide those written submissions of comments and questions to the Legislative Operating Committee through email until November 11, 2021. No written comments were received for the proposed amendments to the furlough law. So at this time, we are at the point of the process where the Legislative Procedure Act requires that a fiscal impact statement be provided for all proposed legislation of the nation. The fiscal impact statement is an estimate of the total fiscal year financial effects associated with the proposed legislation and should include items such as startup costs, personnel, office costs, documentation costs, and an estimate of the amount of time necessary for an individual or agency to comply with the law after implementation. The fiscal impact statement must be completed and submitted to the Legislative Operating Committee prior to the proposed legislation being forwarded to the United Business Committee for consideration. The fiscal impact statement provides the United Business Committee information on what the potential adoption of the proposed legislation will cost the nation so that the United Business Committee can determine if adoption of the proposed legislation is in the best interest of the nation. The Legislative Procedures Act grants the LOC the authority to direct the finance department or any agency who may administer a program if the legislation is enacted or may have a financial information concerning the subject matter of the legislation to submit a fiscal impact statement. So at this time, we will be asking the Legislative Operating Committee approve the packet for the fiscal impact statement. The memorandum that would be sent to Finance Department is included on page 50 of your packet. And so at this time, I'm looking for a motion to approve the updated draft legislative analysis and the fiscal impact statement request memorandum and forward to the Finance Department, directing that a fiscal impact statement be prepared and submitted to the Legislative Operating Committee by December 15th, 2021.
So moved.
Motion made by Jenny.
Second.
Seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? I see none. I'll take a roll call vote. Jenny?
Support.
Marie?
Support.
Daniel?
Support.
Kirby?
Support.
Motion carries. Moving on to the Oneida General Welfare Law. Clarissa?
This item starts on page 52 of your packet. So the Oneida General Welfare Law was adopted by the Business Committee on an emergency basis through Resolution BC 81220D for the purpose of providing assistance on a non-taxable basis to eligible tribal members through approved programs that promote the general welfare of the nation, including programs designed to enhance the promotion of health, education, self-sufficiency, self-determination, and the maintenance of culture and tradition, entrepreneurship, and employment. The emergency adoption of this law was set to expire on February 12, 2021. So emergency amendments to the law were then adopted by the Business Committee through Resolution BC 21021B for the purpose of addressing how an improved program of the nation could be adopted by the Business Committee in an effort to allow for more flexibility and efficiency in addressing the needs of the nation. So these emergency amendments were set to expire on August 10, 2021. The Oneida Business Committee then extended the emergency amendments to the Oneida General Welfare Law for an additional six-month period through the adoption of Resolution BC 72821M. So the emergency amendments to the Oneida General Welfare Law will now expire on February 10, 2022. So the Legislative Operating Committee is now preparing the Oneida General Welfare Law for permanent adoption. So the Oneida General Welfare Law codifies the nation's existing sovereign right to provide assistance to its members on a non-taxable basis pursuant to the principles of general welfare exclusion, and to provide a framework for the nation to create approved programs to do just that. So general welfare exclusion provides that any assistance shall be treated as non-taxable under federal law so long as it satisfies the requirements for exclusion under federal law, is provided under a safe harbor program and Internal Revenue Service procedures or regulations, or meets the criteria of the general test. So the general test provides criteria used to determine if any assistance provided through an approved program to a recipient shall be treated as a general welfare exclusion. So the criteria for the general test include the following. The assistance is paid on behalf of the nation. The assistance was provided pursuant to an approved program. The assistance does not discriminate in favor of members of the governing body of the nation. The assistance is available to any member who meets the guidelines of the approved program. The assistance is provided for the promotion of general welfare. The assistance is not lavish or extravagant. The assistance is not compensation for services, and the assistance is not a per capita payment. So any assistance provided by the nation under the general welfare exclusion has to occur through an approved program. So the law sets forth the guidelines that approved programs of the nation will be created under. The law requires that an approved program be adopted by the Oneida Business Committee through either a resolution or a law of the nation. An approved program may be adopted through a resolution if the approved program will function for a limited term. A limited term means that there's a defined start and end date, or the program utilizes third-party funding and is not intended to be permanent. If the purpose of the approved program will function on a permanent basis, then the approved program is required to be adopted through a law of the nation. So the law then provides what information an approved program is required to include in its adopting document, which includes the name of the approved program, the purpose, the eligibility rules and limitations for the program, the funding source, how the program qualifies for general welfare exclusion, and the start and end date of the approved program, if applicable. So any assistance intended to qualify under the general welfare exclusion is limited to members of the nation only. All assistance that is provided to a recipient is required to be used for the purpose stated in the approved program description. If a recipient uses assistance in a manner that is inconsistent with the purpose of the approved program, then the payment is considered forfeited and the nation may secure repayment from the recipient. The law then clarifies that any benefit a member of the nation receives is not subject to anticipation, alienation, sale, transfer, assignment, pledge, encumbrance, attachment, or garnishment by creditors of the member. So on September 1st, 2021, the LOC approved the draft of the Oneida General Welfare Law. On September 15th, the LOC approved the legislative analysis and approved a public comment period to be held open until October 13th. Typically, the Legislative Procedures Act requires that the LOC holds a public meeting where people can come in person and provide comments on the proposed legislation or ask questions, and then hold open a public comment period for an additional 5 business days where an individual may submit written comments or questions on proposed legislation. Now, because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the nation's public health state of emergency, we were unable to safely hold an in-person public meeting. So Oneida Business Committee Resolution BC8321A, setting public gathering guidelines during public health state of emergency, COVID-19, prohibits indoor and outdoor public gatherings when the COVID-19 infection rates within Brown or Allegheny County exceeds low. So during this time for the public comment period, the infection rates did exceed low. The nation's COVID-19 core decision-making team addressed the issue of not being able to hold public meetings safely through its March 27th, 2020 declaration, suspension of public meetings under the Legislative Procedures Act. So this declaration suspended the Legislative Procedures Act requirement to hold a public meeting during the public comment period, but still allowed members of the community to participate in the legislative process by submitting written comments, questions, data, or input on the proposed legislation to the LOC via email during the public comment period. So although a public meeting was not held on the permanent adoption of the Oneida General Welfare Law, a public comment period was still held open until October 13, 2021, in accordance with the Legislative Procedures Act as it was modified by the suspension of public meetings under the Legislative Procedures Act declaration. So during this public comment period, no submissions of written comments were received. On October 20th, the LOC accepted the public comment review memo, which identified that no comments were received. On November 3rd, the LOC approved the draft of the Oneida General Welfare Law and the Fiscal Impact Statement Request Memorandum and forwarded the memo to the Finance Department, directing that a Fiscal Impact Statement be prepared and submitted to the LOC by November 18th. So the Fiscal Impact Statement was received from the Finance Department on November 12th, and that Fiscal Impact Statement had an indeterminate conclusion. So overall, the Oneida General Welfare Law is now ready for the consideration of adoption on a permanent basis. So next in your packet, you'll see the adoption packet for this item. So on page 56 of your packet, you'll find the adoption memo. So this contains much of the background information I provided to you this morning. So next I'll walk you through the remaining documents in the adoption packet. So on page 60, you'll see the adopting resolution. The Legislative Procedures Act requires that legislation of the nation be adopted through a resolution. So this resolution summarizes the proposed law and highlights that the requirements of the Legislative Procedures Act have been met. The resolution provides that if adopted by the business committee, the proposed law would become effective on December 22nd, 2021. Next, on page 62, you'll see the statement of effect. So a statement of effect explains the impacts or conflicts adoption of a resolution would have on the nation. So this statement of effect identifies that the adoption of the resolution would not conflict with any of the nation's laws. It shows that adoption of this resolution complies with the Legislative Procedures Act as it has been modified by the suspension of public meetings under the Legislative Procedures Act declaration. So then on page 64, you'll find the legislative analysis. So the legislative analysis describes the important features of the legislation being considered and factual information to enable the LOC to make informed decisions regarding this piece of legislation. Then on page 71 of your packet, you'll see the clean draft. So the clean draft is what the law would look like if the proposed law were adopted as is. So then on page 75, you'll find the fiscal impact statement provided by the Finance Department. A fiscal impact statement is an estimate of the total identifiable fiscal year financial effects associated with the legislation. So the Oneida General Welfare Law is now ready to be forwarded to the Business Committee for consideration of adoption on a permanent basis. So we're asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to approve the Oneida General Welfare Law adoption packet and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration.
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Jenny. Seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? Roll call vote, Jenny.
Support.
Marie.
Support.
Daniel.
Support.
Kirby.
Support.
Motion carries. Well, moving on to new submissions, the Oneida Nation Arts Board bylaw amendments.
Kristen? If you look on page 78 of your packet, you will see an agenda request form that was submitted by the Business Committee Support Office on behalf of the Oneida Nation Arts Board. The Arts Board is looking for some changes to its bylaws that in general would change the meeting frequency from monthly to quarterly. It would add an optional stipend payment and it would update the order of business to which their agenda appears. The redline version of the changes that the Arts Board is requesting to its bylaws are contained in the packet and start on page 79. If the Legislative Operating Committee were to add this to its active files list, the next step would be to process the amendments and having a legislative analysis be prepared. So at this time, the Legislative Operating Committee needs to decide whether to add the United Nations Arts Board bylaws amendments to the active files list, and if so, would add a sponsor for that, or to deny the request to add the United Nations Arts Board bylaws amendments to the active files list.
I'll make a motion to add to the active files list.
So move.
You identify a sponsor?
I'm liaison, so I don't know if that's appropriate. Sure, I'll be the sponsor.
Okay, motion been made by Jenny, seconded by Marie. Questions or comments with Jenny being the sponsor? Kirby.
Yeah, so the Arts Board is the one who submitted this to the LRO to be on the active files list.
That is correct, Kirby. It was actually submitted to the Business Committee Support Office, who then submitted it to us on behalf of the Arts Board.
And the main request is, the previous Arts Board, this is the only board that never received a stipend. So what I heard is that they're now interested in receiving a stipend?
That is correct. It's one of the requested changes that they're asking be made.
All right.
Okay, Roll call vote. Jenny?
Support.
Marie?
Support.
Daniel?
Support.
Kirby?
Support.
Motion carries. We're now looking for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
At 9:25. Motion made by Marie, seconded by Daniel. Roll call vote. Jenny?
Support.
Marie?
Support.
Daniel? Kirby?
Support.
All right, motion carries. Thank you, everybody.